Well, welcome to Cornerstone Church's online podcast. This is Pastor Barry. Hope and pray that you will be ministered to as you listen to today's sermon.
As we move into the sermon, I'd like to show you something in Scripture that I hope will encourage you and help inspire you to follow the example of Jesus. We're going to look at some things about the life of Jesus that often aren't looked at. Jesus had been, if you have your Bibles, and we're going to look at a lot of places, so really the app and the sermon notes on there will be most helpful for you. I will make reference to the book of Matthew. That's where we're going to be, in Matthew's gospel, starting at Matthew 4, verse 18. But Jesus has been water baptized. And when he was water baptized, we would know that he heard his Father's voice. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. He heard a voice from heaven. Then he went into the wilderness. He was tempted, fasting and praying. Then he was tempted by the devil. Jesus has moved from hearing a voice from heaven to hearing a voice from hell. He's left Nazareth. He's now living in Capernaum by the sea, and he begins to preach and teach. And I want to show you, we're going to walk through a lot of scriptures and just highlight some things in each one. Matthew 4:18 says this: Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, "Follow me, I will make you fishers of men." And immediately they left their nets, followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. What was Jesus doing when he called Peter and Andrew, James and John? He was walking by the sea. He was out for a walk by the sea, and he calls these disciples. If we go on to verse 14 of Matthew 8:14. Now when Jesus had come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lying sick with a fever, and he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and served them. This moment, Jesus is simply going into Peter's house to have a meal. We see the miraculous take place. If we drop down four more verses to Matthew 8:18, it says this: Jesus saw a great multitude about him, gave a command to depart to the other side. They're going to get in the boat and go to the other side, Sea of Galilee. Verse 19, then a certain scribe came and said to him, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Then another of his disciples said to him, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." Jesus said to him, "Follow me, let the dead bury their dead." But verse 23 says, now when he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. This is the story of Jesus calming the storm. What was taking place? What was Jesus doing? He was simply getting in the boat. We've got to get to the other side. He gets into this boat, and we have this story that so often preacher-type people talk about rebuking the wind and calming the sea, and the disciples being amazed, who is this, who even is able to do these things. But Jesus was just simply, he was just got into the boat to get to the other side, much like we would get into a car, we'd get into a vehicle with some friends, somebody else is driving, away we go, we'll get into a bus, grab an Uber, whatever, we're just doing that. In fact, Jesus in this story, if we would read, he's the guy who falls asleep on the bus. He's the friend in the back seat with his head against the window, whose eyes are closed. He's out of it. He's just simply on the bus, in the boat, going to the other side. So many times when Jesus shows up, people will come out to meet him. Wherever he is, people will find out he's there, and there will be people that will gather. Sometimes it's an individual. It's like a Roman centurion who has a servant who's sick. It's a man with an incurable and very contagious skin disease. It's a dad with a very sick little girl. It's demon-possessed people. It's friends who are carrying their friend who can't walk. It's a woman who is continually hemorrhaging. And they encounter the compassion and the power of Jesus. Just because Jesus was there, they come, they press in to be with him. We see his compassion and his power. Verse 9 of chapter 9, it says this, and Jesus passed on from there. He saw a man named Matthew sitting in a tax office, and he said to him, follow me. So he, Matthew, arose and followed him. Now it happened as Jesus sat at the table in the house that, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? And Jesus, when he heard this, he says to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Why do you think I'm here? But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. I didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. But when he calls Matthew, whose gospel account we are reading right now, what was he doing? He's just passing by. He's just passing by, and he says to him, follow me. And even though Jesus is leading, he ends up at Matthew's kitchen table. As he sat down, and there's this teachable moment. Verse 1 of chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, verse 1 says this. And if you're following along in the app, you'll see the highlighted things. The Bible didn't hide them. The Bible didn't highlight them. I just put them bold to draw them to your attention. So it will say this at that time, and here it is. Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and his disciples were hungry and began to pluck heads off the grain and to eat. The Pharisees saw it. They said to him, look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath. In this verse, Jesus is just walking through the grain fields. Why do you walk through the grain field? Other than for an Insta post. Why are you walking through the grain field? Because it's a shortcut to get somewhere. They just happen to be walking through the grain field, and Jesus takes this moment to be a teachable moment, to let them know that he is Lord of the Sabbath. Matthew 13, verses 1 to 3 says this. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea. Great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat. Whole multitude stood on the shore, and he spoke many things in parables. He said, behold, a sower went out to sow. We have the parable of the sower and the seed and so many other teachings just because Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea. Do you ever wonder what he thought when he saw a sunrise? Or when he saw a sunset? You know, I wonder if somebody's standing beside him, you know, watching the sunrise. Isn't that beautiful? You know, if he would just say thanks. You know, or if he'd say, I think I'm going to use a little more red next time. Or, you know, whatever it is, this moment. But he just left the house and sat by the sea. Chapter 14, verse 13. When Jesus heard it, he departed from there by boat to a deserted place by himself. When the multitudes heard it, they followed him on foot to the cities. Sometimes he just goes to be alone, to get away from people. And that gets sabotaged. Matthew 15, verse 29. So Jesus departed from there, skirted the Sea of Galilee, and went up and on the mountain and sat down there. These are just all these moments that we look, just so many normal things. He passed by, he sat down, he got in the boat, went to the other side. We have so many miracles when he enters a place and when he preaches and he leaves a place to preach. As he's entering, as he's leaving, people finding him. But Matthew 24, verse 3 says this, now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, disciples came to him privately saying, tell us when will these things be and what will be the sign of your coming at the end of the age. And this next chapters 24 and 25 is all about end times. As he just simply sits on the Mount of Olives and overlooks the Garden of Gethsemane in the city of Jerusalem, just sitting there. The last few verses we'll look at, verse 6 and 7 of Matthew 26. Matthew 26 says this, verses 6 and 7. When Jesus was in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, a woman came to him having an alabaster flask of very costly fragrant oil, and she poured it on his head as he sat at the table. And then verse 26 of the same chapter, 26:26. As they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. I think that's enough of the verses in Matthew that that hopefully we get the point this morning. I think that being a follower of Jesus, we need to follow his example. But he had a tremendous ministry of walking and of passing by and of sitting on a mountain and by the lake and at a table, of eating and even of departing to be alone, and in preaching and in teaching and being very intentional about a great many things. But somehow in 2023, I don't want to miss Jesus in the normal. Jesus just in the normal stuff of life. It's so important that we live out our Christianity in the very normal things of life, because most of our lives and most of our days are just normal. We get up, we go to work, or we go to school, we eat lunch, we commute, we go to the gas station or the supermarket or the drugstore, we attend meetings or classes, we complete assignments, we report to people or we have people report to us, we do the dishes and do the laundry and shovel the sidewalks and then do it all again tomorrow. But somewhere in the sitting and the walking and the passing, there is the ever-present holiness of God that can turn even the darkest environment into the holiest of sanctuaries. Living in the awareness of the holy presence of God, what he might be calling you to, what he might be doing in you, calling you to make a difference, loving the people that you're with in the very normal things of life. But even as I say that, I would just want to caution us. I don't at all mean somehow just to be at ease. Ah, well, I'll just follow Jesus and just bring him along. And I know that wouldn't be your heart or even your attitude. Because being a disciple, the word means disciplined one. And we would be those who would continue to sacrifice. We would never take a quesera, sera, whatever will be attitude about following Jesus, because there was so much intentionality about the life and ministry of Jesus. He said, I only did the things I saw the Father doing. I only said the things I heard the Father saying. The problem is when we look at moments like this. Oh, as he was passing by, he called the disciples. And look at the difference Peter and Andrew, James and John make in the New Testament. Jesus just happened to be on a walk and walked by the sea one morning and called them. It's like when we watch athletes, when we watch sports, when we watch somebody take a golf swing and hit the ball straight and true. And we think, wow, they make it look effortless. They make it look easy. And what we didn't see is all the practice and all the work. Or musicians, when we hear somebody play a piece or a composition or play an instrument, and it just looks so effortless. I don't know when it was 2 or 3 weeks ago. I don't know when the moment was. Somehow I was with Maiwa Rasanwo. And we were talking about music, and Maiwa, who's now serving at Grace and Glory Four Square Church, man, he's a gifted musician. Plays the piano and bass and drums. And a few years ago at a crossover service, we were singing the song Hallelujah, and he gets on the saxophone. He just rips on that thing, and it's just, I got a little video clip of it. It's fantastic. But Maiwa and I were talking, and he said, boy, practicing is hard. It's hard work. And I don't get that impression. When I see him pick up an instrument, it just looks so fluid, and so many people here are able to do that, just make it look easy. And he was saying, man, practicing's a lot of work. There's a moment when the disciples came to Jesus and said, how come we couldn't cast that demon out? And Jesus said, this kind only comes out by prayer and fasting. And it wasn't somehow that Jesus didn't have a sandwich that day so he could do it. It has nothing to do with the immediacy of fasting of the moment. It has to do with a lifetime of preparation. It has to do with what's there to draw upon. He had currency to draw upon that had already been deposited in his life. Jesus is walking by the sea and calls the disciples. After 40 days of prayer and fasting and being tempted by the devil himself. And so I don't at all mean to just be at ease and in our passing by that it just happens. without missing out. It's not some excuse to be lazy. We are people who are dedicated and consecrated and set apart. And we need to draw near to him and be intentional about that. And that's why I'm so excited this year about our time of prayer and fasting. Just the season, these 3 weeks to draw near to God. But I don't want to miss Jesus in the normal. I want to be aware of his presence as we are present with others in our walking, in our eating, in our sitting, in our riding the bus, in our passing by, that we would be sensitive to his leading. See, because our Christianity must work in those places, because that's where the people are. The people that we are trying to reach with the gospel. Let's go ahead and pray this morning. Jesus, when we look and discover that you, we read the words that the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld your glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. When we read about the word becoming flesh and the humanity of it, Jesus, so often we don't see the humanity about the passing by, about the walking, about the sitting, this ministry of sitting over and over and over again. We want to welcome you and invite you into our normal. Jesus, help us to be people who are able to be a sanctuary, to make a sanctuary, to live in a sanctuary, just places set apart for holy purposes in the normal of it all. God, that we don't separate our spirituality, that we don't separate our Christianity, that we don't somehow isolate it to just this part, that part. This is what we do on Sunday or on Wednesday night, or when we're conscious, of doing devotions or reading our Bible or praying or walking with God. That we don't separate those holy spiritual moments from the regular moments of life. That you inhabit, you dwell, you are tabernacled within your people, this temple. And so in all the normal things, may we walk with you, and may we bring an awareness of the presence of God in our walking, in our passing by, in our sitting, in our eating, in our being at the house and being at the table. God, and as we're aware of your presence, may you speak to us. May we hear from you. May we extend your loving touch to people. And may the miraculous take place because of Jesus in our normal. In Jesus' name we pray.
Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Cornerstone Church's online podcast. May God continue to richly bless you and lead you as we follow Jesus together.